if you don't believe in God, where do you get your morality from? Why is science not just another belief system? And could we do away with belief in gods? Should we even try? That's Morality Without Gods, Part 2, Tuesday, March 3rd, 6:30 to 9, at New York University, the Silver Center, located at 100 Washington Square East, free and open to the public. For more information, call 347-933-0776. That's 347-933-0776.
And we'll repeat those announcements, several others throughout the rest of this afternoon here on WBAI 99.5 FM, available online at WBAI.org, and tell a friend or two about us and that we are still here. We thank all of you so very, very much, those of you who made your contributions to WBAI during our winter fundraising drive. It's 1 p.m. in New York City. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. My special thanks to all of you who helped make our fun drive as successful as it was. Who showed you good faith. I'm looking forward to meeting with as many of you as possible. And I want to thank those of you who showed up for that lecture we did on Sunday. It was beautiful to see your faces. It was wonderful to see you there. Nice. Every opportunity I get, getting a chance to meet with you does wonders for me. It's part of my needs. I guess we should also say that this morning it was 14 degrees in Long Island. And the weather was, the trains were all wrapped up, and I guess we should also tell you the stock market is currently up 5.42 points. Why? Because you, who may have never paid attention to or given a darn about what the stock market are doing, suddenly keep hearing about it, and it suddenly seems to be affecting your life. Stock market, the place of securities. Interesting concept, don't you think? Securities? What is a security? What is security? That's the interesting question. What is a security? Well, is it certainly what we thought it was? You know, you take your money, you put it in the bank, and your money is secure. Well, we didn't only want it to be secure because we had the mattress for that. We wanted it to be secure and grow. And then we had this concept of that developed over the last 40 or 50 years about retirement and retirement accounts. Now that means that means that you go to a place, you put money aside, and then you get to a certain age, usually in your 60s, where you stop work and you don't work at all. And instead of dying like you used to do, you now walk around Florida. You know, it was called retirement. It is called, or it was called retirement. We don't know what it's called anymore. Suddenly this balloon is kind of, not burst, but deflated. Doesn't look the same. So today I want to talk to you about the need for security. The need for safety. It's a funny thing, safety. Safety is, I think, humans need to feel safe. Abe Maslow, great psychologist, psychiatrist, talked once about the hierarchy of needs. It was in his theory of human motivation, which he subsequently extended to include his observations of humans' innate curiosity. And he talked about it. He said, said man has needs that are predetermined in order of importance. And he took at the bottom of the needs were the physiological. He said breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, excretion. Now these he saw as very important. He said because in order to get your body going, you got to feed it, you have to clean it out, you have to excrete it. Then he said second to physiology was safety, which is security of the body, security of employment, security of resources, the security of the family, the security of your health, the security of your property. So, you know, food, shelter, water, we're kind of working the same way that the animals do. Then he talked about the need for love and belonging as a higher need, the need for friendship, family, intimacy. And above that need was a need for self-esteem, to regard yourself well, to feel confident, to feel achievement, to feel respect for yourself and respected by others, and respect for others. And he talked about the highest need being the acceptance of reality, morality, creativity, spontaneity, and the lack of prejudice. Now, that's a whole bunch of thoughts that I just threw at you. But let's think about what Maslow is saying here. Maslow is saying is we have basic needs. Now, do you have basic needs? Do you have, let's say we break it down another way, the way they look at it in the Enneagram. They say there are instincts, three instincts. One instinct is for self-preservation. How am I going to keep this machine going? How am I going to keep myself going in this world today? Right? And this gets shaken a great deal, this self-preservation, because every day you open the news, more jobs are lost. You may have lost your job. Your savings may be gone. Prices go up. Security is shaken down to the core. Security is shaken the way security was shaken in 9/11. We had all those alerts, and we had anthrax scares, and we had tape on the windows. Security, what's happening to people? What are they feeling? The security needs are getting shaken. And why do we need it? Why do we have to feel secure? What's wrong with being insecure? Why can't you live with the animals like the animals in the jungle? You know, the deer doesn't feel secure, but they certainly, some of them live to ripe old ages of two. No, some of them live a long, long time. You know, but you don't have to be really secure. You could be insecure and get by in the, you know, in the chain of animals. It doesn't matter. Insecurity is part of it. You know, there's hunters, and you could be the prey, and you could still live a happy, long life. But security to we humans is a different thing. And that's what I want to talk about today. You see, I think something happened to us all. I think we got lost a little bit. And this is Armand DeMille, by the way, with you with The Positive Mind. If you just tuned in, I haven't been with you on a regular basis for over a month. For a month. But we're recontinuing our show. We'll be with you now every day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays at 1 o'clock. I like to ask you questions that you ask yourself so that you can kind of say, you know, maybe I could think about it a little differently. Today, I want you to think about your need for safety and security differently. I want you to see it differently. I want to see how important this is to you. Why do we need to feel safe? What is that all about? Why can't we just say, well, you know, there goes my house. I guess we're going to have to start over. Why? Why can't we just figure it out? If you were to take the average animal and remove its shelter, that animal would scurry for a corner somewhere, but it would find a new shelter. Not humans. Humans have a greater sense of panic. Something about losing your house has such significance. The mortgage crisis has such significance. When I was a kid, nobody had a house. I mean, if you had a house, that meant you had a lot of money and, you know, you were secure and nobody was going to take it away and they cost $19,000 or something like that. But then it got to where everybody has a house and now people are worried about losing their house and the house has become something. It's like you're a turtle, and without this shell, you're going to be completely naked and not survive. What happened to us? Well, you see, we're getting shaken. We had a belief system, and the belief system is getting shaken, and we're going to talk with you about this today. But let's go back to the need for safety. So first, let's talk about the basic instincts, okay? Basic instinct. One is self-preservation. I got to keep my machine going. The second instinct is I have to be connected to someone. I have to feel intimate in some way. Some people have that instinct. I have to be close sexually. I have to be close physically. I have to be close emotionally with one person, you know, or a close group of people. And the third instinct is I have to be part of a social group. I have to be part of this entire group of people. And I have to be regarded, and I have to regard them, and I have to have my place in it. You have those three instincts. Think about it. One is your instinct to self-preservation instinct. That's to keep yourself going. If you're a self-preservation type, you likely carry an energy bar or a bottle of tea in your purse or, a bottle of water somewhere just in case you run out. Because you're a self-pres, they call them. I'm going to make sure that I could always survive. If you're a sexual type, or what they call the mating type, then you're always aware of where potential mates are. And you're all about love, and you're all about romance. And you say to yourself, life is about loving and being loved. Well, self-preservation people don't say that. Self-preservation people say, life is about alive and staying alive. Right? Okay, but the love people, the intimacy people, they say life is about love and being loved. Now remember, that's only one-third of the crowd. Then there's another third that says, well, life's not just about survival, and life's not just about love. Life is about how you're regarded and where you belong in your social network. In your group of people, how are you seen? Do you belong? Are you a part of? It's almost an existential statement. It's a statement of, am I part of the universe and my universe's people? Where do I fit? Where do I belong? And if people talk badly about me, or if they discard me, or they don't accept me, I am concerned. So I buy clothing that fit in. I want to fit in. That third type, very popular in America, is the social type. The social people, the gatherers, the ones who like to have parties and be in groups. That's the primary concern. Where do you fit? Hollywood. Hollywood is all about that. Hollywood is not so much about self-preservation, and it's certainly not so much about intimacy, because those intimacies live for about a month. The real thing about it is, how are you regarded? So in a world, in a society where being regarded is so important by the rest of the world and being respected, you know, and having that kind of thing, that's very important. So which of these three needs are yours? I'm asking you, are you a self-preservation? Are you what we call a sexual type? Now, sexual because it could be a focus on sex. You could just be horny all the time. You want to make love. You want to be close. You want to have sex. You want to have orgasm. You want to touch. You want to feel. You want to be close. Or you want to be close to somebody. You want to be in love. You want to be holding hands. You want to be romanticizing. That's type two. We call that the intimate type. And the third type is the social type. Which one are you? Well, everybody who's listening is going to say you're all three, because we are all three. I do care what people think of me. I do care about my self-preservation. I do care about my intimacy. But which one dominates? Which one takes the lead? When push comes to shove, are you going to worry more about your survival, about your relationship, or about where you fit with people? Think of a three-legged stool. A stool, you know, that has three legs. And you sit on that stool, and one of the legs is shorter than the other two. So you always lean on that side. Well, each one of you will lean in the side of one of these three instincts. The social, the sexual, or the intimate. The social, the sexual, is self-preservation. What I call the intimate is the sexual. Now, what's important about this is because if you are strongly weighed to one side or the other, if you're a strong self-preservationist who just cares about getting by, who is very private and very alone, then you tend to be underdeveloped in one of the other two areas. And, for example, self-preservationists might not be social at all. And so you go around looking like a curmudgeon. You know, you go around looking... I gave a lecture on Friday, and I remember there were on Sunday, there were a number of people in the audience who were very, very private. And they were actually eating out of their bags. They had little carried nuts with them or something. And that they, while they were there, they sat distant from everybody else. So they weren't part of the social crowd. They joined in, but they weren't part of the social crowd. And they were part of the, they were part of, you know, just taking care of themselves. So now let's go just that further step. If your instinct is self-preservation, the thing that you are most going to be concerned about when you get shaken in today's society is how are you going to get by? How are you going to get by? How are you going to get from today to tomorrow? And what are you feeling in today's society? Is your preservation shaken? Why is this important? Safety. Here's where I go to my sense of safety. Something happened to us in this world. My friends, this is Armand DeMille tuning in with you, with the Positive Mind, 99.5 on your FM digital. I used to call it the dial, but then somebody reminded me there's no dial. But so let's say you get shaken. What happens to you nowadays? What gets worried? Where did the worry go? You can't share the worry with your husband, your wife, or your kids because they get extra worried with you, and now it builds up. Now you get this little sense of panic. Why don't people talk about how bad they feel and how scared they feel? Because they believe if they talk about it, it's going to get bigger. Because it will get bigger if you talk about it. If you talk about your fear too out loud and then somebody says, I'm afraid too, then the two of you validate your fear and you actually feel more fear. So people tend not to talk about it. They hope it's going to go away. We hope we hear the stock market went up 1,000 points today. Not that we ever cared about the stock market going up 1,000 points, but now we care. Because maybe now they won't fire so many people. Security. I think there's another reason why we have to find safety. I think each of us growing up did not grow up nurtured by the right kind of families. I think our families made a mess out of it. Our families bought into this whole acquisition world where they were believing that they had to have possessions and acquisitions and they had to achieve and have retirement. And they kind of guided you in that direction. And they did not guide you in the direction of personal integrity, of a feeling of feeling secure inside yourself beyond your having your possessions. And so if you don't have your possessions, you don't feel secure. How do you feel secure in your heart without having possessions? The families didn't train that. They've lost that. They lost that idea. So most children growing up felt that they had to desperately keep trying. Did you have to keep trying all your life? You have to keep working at it. You have to keep developing yourself. Do you have to keep making money? Do you have to keep finding a new job? Do you have to keep going higher and going further? You know, achievement. Did you buy into that? Okay, well, most families did. So what that did was it left the children, us, feeling like we got to take care of ourselves. So most of us believe that we have to take care of ourselves, that there's nobody else to take care of us. Are you one of those people? If you're somebody who believes that the bottom line is going to stop with you, that you have to take care of yourself and nobody else is really going to take care of you, raise your hand. Yeah, right there. See that? I knew I'd get one here in the studio. Sure, of course, raise your hand. Who else is going to take care of you? Well, if that's the case, why do we have such a strong need to find a way to be safe? Why are we investing in these things and worried about treasury bills? What's all this safety about? Well, I think safety makes sense. See, I think for humans, finding safety is critically important for the survival of the organism. Now I'm going to take you on a little neurological trip. We have two parts of our systems, our nervous systems. We have the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is that part of us that helps us get through life with action. This is fight, flight, flee, freeze, whatever you have to do, where you take action and activity. You burn up energy, you burn up cells in the course of a day, sympathetic nervous system. It is working to keep you going. It is your engine. It's your motor oil. It's your sympathetic nervous system is just firing all the time. And it's firing and it keeps you in action. Love, sex, passion, all of that sympathetic nervous system. But what happens when your tank runs dry? Does it ever deplete? Of course it does. You got to pull up the tanker. You got to get yourself refilled. How do you do it? You go to sleep. Yes, when you sleep, you regenerate cells. And when you sleep, and that's why sleep is designed into our systems, otherwise we would never have to sleep. When you sleep and when you rest, you rebuild cells. This is the tanker backing up, filling you with fuel, so now you can go on the next day and be filled. If you don't sleep enough, you could feel what it's like. It's harder to get through. It's harder to charge your energy out. You nod out. So sleep is essential. Rest is essential. When you're resting, you regenerate cells. But now here's a problem. If you rest too much, you regenerate so many cells you can't move. You don't have any action. So you got to have enough action. That's why you can't stay on vacation forever. You know, that's why you can't live in California, Laguna Beach. Your mind gets sloppy. It just gets kind of, you know, I don't have to think anymore. I wonder if anybody, yes, I know there's an audience in Laguna Beach who's going to send me a letter right now because they listen to the positive mind. They're the exceptions. There's sympathetic nervous types out there. So going back to this, you need to have a balance between your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system. You must have rest and sleep. You must relax. Must, so that you can regenerate cells. In order to do that, how do you relax? How does an animal relax? Are you like your cat? You know your cat? Your cat could be sleeping on top of a building. It just goes to sleep. It doesn't matter. It's always safe. Does it have to find a safe place? Does it have to find a... No, it can sleep anywhere. You know, humans nod out sometimes and they fall asleep anywhere. But mainly, there's got to be a sense of safety. Let's go back to being an orangutan. We're up in the trees. What separated men from monkeys, the lemurs? You know what the lemur had, our direct ancestor? That's right. It had a prehensile hand. It had a hand that could clasp. Why do you need a clasping hand? Because if you sleep in a tree and you fall asleep and you fall off your branch, you got to be able to grab the branch. You see that sometimes when people are sleeping, if they have falling dreams, they're grabbing with their hands. It's almost like they're being thrown back in time. So you've got to be able to be safe when you sleep. And safety is required for you to feel that you're going to regenerate your cells. So the need for safety is essential, my friends. Essential. How do you get it? You can get it by being in a close, intimate relationship with somebody where you feel that you have one partner who's always going to watch your back, one person you love and you feel so deeply for that you know no matter what, he or she's going to be there for you. You can get that. That's good. You can get security. You get money in the bank. You can get a backup plan. You can have family that takes care of you. That's another safety. Or you could have the third kind, which is a social network. And in that, I say something like join the army. You know, there's a security in joining the army. There's a lot of reason why people are now flocking to the military. A secure job, you can't get fired. You know what I mean? You have people around you. You're part of a social club. In these three needs, we find ourselves struggling until something comes along to shake it. And here's how I want to do my program with you today, my friends, or our program with us. I want you to call after our break today, and I want you to tell me about how you're feeling in your security, in your safety. I don't want you to tell me what you're thinking about the economy, but I want to find out what you're feeling. You see, nobody talks about it. Everybody's afraid to talk about it. They look at it and they go, oh, yeah, houses are falling. Oh, yeah, it's going to recover. Oh, yeah, people say things to each other all the time. You know, we always believe that there's going to be some, that whatever was in the past is going to repeat itself. So, but yeah, housing is going to definitely come back. And, yeah, the stock market's going to come back. And, yes, but, you know, the whole thing could have been one big illusion and the thing was just, you know, like glass-bottom boats. You know, it was just like one idea. You know, glass-bottom boats were down in Florida when they were selling those for a while. How could you go wrong? Glass-bottom boats, what a wonderful idea. But maybe the bubbles are bursting. And maybe we have to find a different way to feel right. And if some of us can get together and feel right, then we feel right with each other, and then we set up a new world network of people who are feeling their own sense of safety, their own sense of power, their own security, not dependent on the outside. You can do it, my friends. We could do it together, and we will be doing that today. But I have to hear from you. I have to hear from you about how you're feeling, what you're feeling, and not just what you're thinking. Because everybody wants to talk about how horrible they think, and Obama, and this, and the, and Bush. I don't want to go there. I want to go into your heart. I want you to get a chance to tell me what's really going on for you. Because we haven't done it for a month. We haven't been able to take your calls. Tomorrow, I have somebody coming on the program who's talking about, let me ask Stephanie Dobra, who's, oh, yes, and right, more about emotions. Yes, yes, a great author is coming on tomorrow. We'll have a gang here. Bernie Starr will be here also. Be quite a few people. So today I want to use this time for you. How are you feeling? Does it shake you? And if it shakes you, where does it shake you? Where does it scare you? And here's a question I have for you. Is it like you're a kid? Is it like you're a child in the world? Is it like you're lost, like there's a big grown-up world and you don't know what to do? Do you have some money left and maybe you've got a little bit of money saved that you pulled out and you don't know where to put it and you feel lost and you read everything and you say, oh, should I put it in a bank? Oh, no, that bank is, you know, Citibank is a dollar, the stock. Should I put it there? Somebody did a thing about the yield on the CDs is the equivalent to the price of the common stock nowadays, which is kind of funny. Like these stocks used to be 50s and 60s and things like that. They're now down to a dollar and $2. It's like they almost don't exist. Is that where you put your money? Or should you worry about your money at all? Should you be concerned about it? Should it be all safe? Is there another place you should be going to find the sense of security that you need? Because who is going to get through? The one who's going to get through is the one who feels calm, solid, powerful, and real. And I want us to figure out how to get there. Together. And I think we could do that. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. With you, trying to find you doing things other than just looking around and keeping quiet and gabbing with people about, did you hear what happened with the economy today? Did you hear what the stock market do? You know, what do the banks and those conversations don't go anywhere. You know, yeah, it's going to turn around. Yes, I am. And words like this and people being sages about the economy, none of that makes any sense. So when we're going to take it, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, our telephone number here is 212-279. No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh, my God, I'm just remembering. 212-209-2900. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. I've got some special, unusual music for you today. And then when we come back, we'll take your phone calls.
Hi, this is Eric Anderson.
This is Wolsey Perez.
You're tuned to WBAI.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is LL Cool J.
This is Dave Marsh.
Hi, this is Tony Bennett.
Hi, this is Julie Cruz from New York City, and you're listening to
WBAI-FM.
The soundcheck of New York City.
Non-commercial and with no additives. We're listener-supported.
I don't listen to the radio.
I don't like stuff that sucks.
You talking to me?
I love this radio station.
You talking to me?
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests,
right,
insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions,
five,
and observations.
Four,
that's
three,
TalkBack right
two,
here on WBAI
one,
New York.
We should be hanging out, you know. Don't you think a little junkaroo and dancing and at the beach? Not much of that. Got a letter from a place that I know, a holiday place, said we're offering 2-for-1s at our hotels because people are traveling less. You know? It's a little more difficult out there. 212-209-2900 is our number here today. Happy to get back to talk to you. And I want to hear from you about how you are feeling. And when feeling is different than thinking, thinking is what you think about. We have a lot of pundits who think about. We want people who feel. I want to see what's going on. Are you getting scared? Now, let me tell you how I feel. I look at this economy, and I've always looked at this economy as something that I've always felt like I was in some kind of a bubble I didn't understand, a balloon that I didn't understand, although I was deeply involved in it. I always felt, you know, this is a funny little game I'm playing, and I'm in this game. And I was okay to be in the game because I was successful at it. And as the game dies, I say, oh, the game is dying. I don't feel personally at threat. The people around you who know me will know you don't hear me talking about worry too much. I don't worry much. Not because I'm denying reality, but because I didn't celebrate too much on the other side either. But I have a nice sense of security. I have a nice thing I'm doing in the world. I'm at the hub of a beautiful thing. This world that I live in, the world I live in with you, my friends, the people I work with, is beautiful. So, as we all turn, it all kind of works together. But, you know, it's very hard to be involved like that. It's very hard to feel that kind of connected. 212-209-2900. Let me hear about you. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Ron from Connecticut.
Hello, Ron.
How are you?
Good.
I love listening to your show.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you for all of your...
What part of Connecticut
comments.
Are you in?
I'm in Coscob.
Yeah, okay, so you're close enough.
I am.
Not to be out in that Darien world where they're falling apart.
Yeah, we're all affected.
Yeah, so tell me about your feeling.
It was very interesting. One of my feelings was always the security of money, and then whenever I felt I sort of achieved what I wanted to achieve in that arena, there was a large release that I always... felt that, wow, I feel secure, I feel safe. But then some things happen that sort of challenge your... I'm a sexual type, and I was having trouble in my marriage, and when my marriage was failing, that's when I really shattered, and I felt completely shattered.
When you say sexual type, just for the audience, since I know you understand it, it means the intimate type. He's a type
right.
who needs to feel intimacy well, along with his other things, but intimacy, is connection is very important.
It's extremely important, yeah. So when that connection was threatened or I perceived it to be threatened, it that's what shook my world. And then after that, it was really... my question, I guess, pertains to religion, because after that, I felt so disconnected in many ways that I obviously turned to religion, and I felt an extreme, overwhelming amount of grace in that arena and that connection and that love, almost like that's what I rely on now, and everything else really seems very transient to me, and I'm wondering the health of that in a world that I guess we live in and all these things around us. I'm sort of shied away from that. And I don't know how healthy that is.
Well, okay, let's look at, you know, the fact that it is religion.
Right.
Which has its own kind of trappings to it because it's religion, because it's the formal setting of it. But let's look at the concept of religion. The concept of religion is we are all connected.
Right.
Whether there be a God or not,
right.
We are connected. And feeling connection is feeling, I believe, the truth. The truth is that we are all connected. What's the difference between you and me and the
right.
space between us?
Right.
So part of the insecurity is believing that we are separate.
Right.
Part of survival needs and survival fears is believing that we are totally separate.
Correct.
But you and I are not separate, Ron, and you and I and the people in my studio and the other, but we're not separate. We're connected. And right. This bottom line connectivity is kind of essential. I was telling a story yesterday at a lecture I gave where I talked about getting on a subway one day where it was very crowded and there was no room on the subway. You could barely breathe. You couldn't squeeze another person in, and there was somebody dying to get in the doors, but there was no room. And I, in the middle of the place already, said, wait, we're all in it together.